You are listening to Pastor Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural edition of Pastor Talk. This is your host, Marty Duren. I'm very glad today to welcome Ron Edmondson to Pastor Talk. Ron is the pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, a pastor and organizational consultant. Ron had a career in business and government. Prior to coming into the ministry, he's unique in how a pastor leads his church. You've probably read his blog at ronedmondson.com, where he specifically addresses leadership, family, and church. Ron loves his wife, traveling, and spending time with their adult children. Before we get into today's podcast, Three Challenges Faced by Every Pastor, let me let you know that the first 10 episodes of Pastor Talk were not recorded in the order in which they'll be released. So in the event that you are listening at some point and you think, well, I wonder why Marty didn't say that or remind us of that or do that, it's because the first 10 episodes were kind of a, lab. And we were testing different things, but because they're being released in different order than they were recorded, sometimes it becomes a little more obvious that one was recorded earlier than the one that you listen to next. But either way, thanks so much for listening, and I really hope that you'll subscribe in your favorite podcatcher, whether that is iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher. I hope you'll listen every time we drop an episode, which will be every single Tuesday, and I trust that these will be a blessing to you. We're kind of using the tagline, giving you the tools and encouragement that you need to shepherd your flock well. And it's just what it sounds like. We want every episode to give you something that you can take away and be a practical application for your life or for your ministry or for working with your staff or for working with your volunteers in any church of any size. My name is Marty Duren. I'll be your host most weeks on Pastor Talk, and it is a thrill for me to kick off this series with you today. Thanks so much for joining us. Now on to Ron Edmondson.
Well, hello, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome Ron Edmondson to the inaugural Pastor Talk podcast. How are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well. If you're on social media at all, especially if you follow church leadership, then Ron's name probably is not any kind of introduction to you. But in case you haven't, maybe you've been a missionary to the South Pole for a while and you have not heard of Ron Edmondson, I'm going to give him a chance to say something about himself. Ron, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm currently pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is a historic church in Lexington, Kentucky, very influential church in our state for many, many years, and just an honor to be here. But I came out of the church planting world before I came here to an established church, and before that I came out of the business world, and I always share that bit of information because I come across to some people as having a business mind, and I certainly marry that with my pastor's mind, but I don't negate the experiences God gave me that brought me to where I'm at today.
Sure. I think it would I would imagine that it would be as helpful in 21st century America to have some business mind as it was in, say, 18th century America to have some agricultural mind.
Well, that's a great illustration. I haven't even thought about that, but I'll be using that again because, you know, it is difficult for some who've only done ministry to realize, okay, there are business principles out there that can help us better lead in the church and almost feel guilty about doing that, but it's a great part of, I think, how God has wired me and allowed me to be here and us to even have success in the established church is to bring some of those principles back into the church.
That's fantastic. We're going to be talking today about three big challenges that every pastor faces, the people challenge, the time challenge, and the training challenge. And actually, these points sound like they may be right in your wheelhouse because some of the principles that you talk about on your blog, for instance, at ronedmondson.com, fit really, really well into these types of thinking. So let's just get right into it. What are some of the challenges that pastors face in having to deal with people? You know, the old saying is the pastorate would be awesome if it wasn't for the people. What are some of the challenges and how to overcome some of those things so that pastors don't get just worn out from having to deal with folks all the time?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is that we, when we come into the, any pastor in any size church, any style church, is just the reality that there are different ideas, different agendas, different philosophies, even different opinions of what the pastor should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so many times we just expect people, we're all on the same team, we're all going in the same direction, we have one vision, you know, to make
disciples. We all love Jesus.
We all love Jesus, and so we just naturally assume, hey, there's going to be this camaraderie, this, you know, this togetherness, this unity, and certainly the Bible speaks that, and that's what we should. But if the Facebook world teaches us anything, it's that everyone has an opinion, and some people are very strong in expressing that, and the only thing you have to do is, as a pastor, is try to lead something, and you'll see how many different opinions there are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think, and you know, you mentioned the different kinds of people. There are great people in our church. This is one of the kindest, nicest congregations I've ever been a part of. And yet at the same time, we can have a very passive-aggressive culture. We have some bullies among us. In fact, I'm doing a session at Exponential this year conference on just how to deal with bullies in the church. Because
are you going to beat somebody up on stage?
No, I'm not. I'm going to try to help us understand how we can avoid having to do that. But you know, there are people with power hunger and need, and just real needy people that just mm-hmm. will consume your entire time and all those, and there's all kinds. And I think it's, you know, to do this people challenge, the number one thing pastors need to recognize is just that people are different. They're just all different. And I like to remind people to empathize with people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily cave into people. Do truth with love. But we've been called to shepherd a group of people, not to control them, but to lead them. The old prayer that used to, every deacon prayer had to have these words in them, lead, guide, and direct us, you know. That's what we've been called to do as pastors, is
right.
to lead, guide, and direct people. And I think that starts with just empathizing with where people are at. One quick story, we have one of our church bullies, so to speak. I mean, he can have such a negative opinion about everything and is, you know, quick to express it, usually by email. But shortly after I came, I began to just look at, just try to figure out what's going on here. You know, why is this? I mean, this guy doesn't like me, and then I realized he just doesn't like anybody, you know, and that sort of thing. And I had a conversation with him, and come to find out he had been injured years ago with something that had happened in his life and did not agree with the way or didn't think the church handled it the right way. And he's just had a wedge ever since then between he and whoever was in church leadership. And that's not right. And
yeah.
we need to move through that. But it's who he is.
Yeah, I was speaking to a pastor yesterday who, very similar situation, was talking to a couple in his church. And, you know, they were kind of on the outs. And as he was talking to them about why they were kind of on the outs, it turns out that one of their children had been offended by something that the pastor had no control over years and years before. Mm-hmm. And the children had stopped coming to the church. And as a result, the parents had taken up their offense, and now they were offended at the pastor. And mm-hmm. I just said, you know, you may can try to reconcile this, but this is not your doing. When people won't even allow you the courtesy of saying, we need to talk because this is going on and we want to get it reconciled, there's a little you can do to advance the solution. So,
right.
Man, I hear you on that.
Well, and the bottom line for me in this one is, and God has really shaped my heart in this, not just in this church, but even in previous churches. But the bottom line is, as pastors, we have to love people. We have to love everybody, even the ones that are difficult to love. And through that love does not look, and I think that a lot of pastors falsely believe this, and maybe it's one of the things that came out of my strategic sense out of the business world. Loving somebody doesn't mean I enable bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of loving people with grace is helping them understand, look, we don't talk to each other that way.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the key things I've said to our church since I've been here is, you know, the scriptures teach us to consider others better than ourselves. We lay down our life for others. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so when we come in here, we lay down our swords. The battle's outside here anyway. The battle's not with one another. The battle mm-hmm. is the spirits of these of the world. But we battle together, and we have to come one team together and be that. So I have really come down probably as hard on that as I have anything of the way we treat one another within the body, and that's including the way you treat me, the way I treat you, the way you treat your brother and sister. I mean, when we came, there was a division in the church based on the way decisions had been made
mm-hmm.
right before I came, and people wouldn't talk to each other. I mean, what's that about? We
yeah,
can't do that.
Yeah.
And so I think the bottom line is we have to love people, and titling bad behavior is not very loving. So helping lead people along towards greater health in the body, then, and that's how we overcome the people challenge.
Well, the second challenge can be related to the first when we're talking about
absolutely.
how a pastor has to do some self-management related to time. We're called to shepherd, and shepherding sheep takes time. But sometimes we can allow that to get out of balance where we have no time to recuperate, no time to rest. Talk a little bit about what pastors can do on a practical level to manage themselves, manage their time better.
And I think that is one of the biggest obstacles that I see with pastors today, and especially in smaller churches. But that was true when we came to our church here, which it was a larger church. Is the expectations of my time and where I was going to be and who I was going to meet with was so overwhelming. If I just met the requirements of just the basic requests that I had, I would have no time.
Right.
I certainly have no time to prepare for Sunday, and I wouldn't have time to, protect my own family. And if you don't protect your family, you're not protecting your ministry. And so I think pastors have to learn how to delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with trusting others to have good opinions. I always say you limit what you control. So whatever I have direct control over is where I've limited the church from ever growing again. And so, in the stage we're at now, 4 years in, 4.5 years in, I control very, very little. I mean, there is just not very much in the church that I control.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear in smaller churches where the pastor may be the only one on staff and everyone's looking them to do everything. Well, that's just not healthy for them, and it's not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how that's done. So I operate an overarching how I handle my time challenge. I have goals every year. So I have certain goals, and usually only two or three that I'm trying to achieve at the this year, and then I have objectives every quarter. So in trying to achieve these goals, here are three or four or five things that I'm going to try to do this quarter to make that goal a reality this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use checklists every day. So every day when I come to work, and usually I like to make it the day before the next day, but I start the day with a checklist. Here's what I can do today. Now, there are 100 interruptions if you're a pastor,
right.
And they just will. But when you operate off of some sort of pre-established system of your time, some time management, then interruptions don't bother you as much because you're much more prepared to do them.
I want to track back for 1 second because you brought up the subject of smaller churches, single-staff churches. And the reality is, I think it's like 90% of churches in America are under 300 in attendance or something like that. And a lot of single staff pastors do get either they feel that they have all of that responsibility, or it is pressed upon them, that expectation that they have all of that responsibility. But I have a one of our contributors to LifewayPastors.com is a church planter in Maine. Now, that should stand alone to tell you he probably doesn't pastor a mega church.
Yeah.
So one of the things that he's done is he's training up some of the men in his church who can also be able to teach and preach. So he has not gone in carrying all the burden by himself. The church where I'm on staff, bivocationally, our pastor preaches the majority of the time, but he has four or five others who share that load, and we have irregular opportunities throughout the year. But throughout the year, all of us are going to have an opportunity to preach. So I would suggest to a listener who is a single staff person that even in that, you can begin to share that preaching load to get, you know, one service off every 6 or 8 or 9 weeks or whatever, to give yourself some breathing room.
Absolutely, and that trickles down to every area that the pastor is responsible for, including visiting the hospital and the sick and all those sort of things. And I like to say to pastors who feel that overwhelming sense that they have to be everywhere and do everything, is to begin with the end in mind, the purpose in mind. Why has God called me here? And my guess is he's not called you to pray over every sick toe. He's called you to make disciples. And what's the most effective method to make disciples in this church? And I would say that that's probably raising up some other people, you know. And the like what you mentioned of letting some other people preach, every church, 100 people, 50 people, has someone in there with this. God's probably gifted somebody else with the gift of teaching. And somebody else is just itching to experience that gift and allow God to work through them. And your part of your discipling may be investing in them and allowing them some of those opportunities to express themselves and to watch themselves grow in that.
When I was younger and had surrendered to ministry, there were a number of us in our church that had. And our pastor let us preach on a regular basis. And I'm going to tell you, Ron, some of those things were absolute train wrecks.
Absolutely.
They couldn't have been worse if they tried, if we tried. But the people were so responsive and so encouraging and so uplifting at even the most difficult effort or delivery. And the amount of boost that it gave to each of us was amazing. And so sometimes, even if the person has a really rough start, first two or three times out, it doesn't go well, you know, a little practice can go a long way.
Now, that doesn't mean it has to be Sunday morning either. Most of these churches, you're going to have Wednesday night opportunities
Sunday
night opportunities.
That's
I mean, if you just get the pastor down to one message a week, that's just incredible what that does to allow them to be. You can tell the quality of my message by how many I have to deliver in a week. It's just bottom line. I mean, that makes sense.
That's a great
and
point.
I think we should also say here, because I can hear a pastor out there saying, well, I got a guy that's always volunteering to teach, but I can't trust what he's going to say, you know. And that's not what we're saying. You know, I think you do have to protect the pulpit, so to speak, you know, of protect the message of the church. And if you just got a rabble rouser that wasn't an honor, you don't have to give them a voice. We're really talking about raising up people who are supportive, who understand the vision of the church, who are trying to make things better, you know, that sort of thing. I have to agree with everything the pastor, but they certainly need to be in line with leadership and not against leadership.
Oh, absolutely agree. So how does training fit into this? So we've talked about the people challenge and how that can just drive us into the ground if we're not careful. We've talked about how the time challenge is related to that, and everybody has only, we've all got the same amount of time in a week, and we've got to figure out how to deal with the time that we have. But part of what we have to do, if we're going to effectively deal with some of the people challenges and effectively deal with some of the time challenge, is we've got to be training people to take on some of these roles. But that's a challenge, because now we're not just talking about the pastor's time. Now we're talking about the people's time, because they have to go
That's
back
right.
and forth to work. They have to deal with family. They have to deal with crises. So what are some effective strategies that a pastor can use to train people better to help alleviate some of these other things?
Well, I was talking to a pastor just this week, as a matter of fact, of a small church, rural Midwestern church. As far as I can tell, it's a great church, but he has has been there a couple of years. He is half the age of the average church member. So he's young, he's inexperienced, and he said, everything I've tried to lead these people with has failed. I've not been able to get any traction in the couple of years I've been here. Should I just bide my time until something else opens, or should I lead stronger? You know, what, any advice? And his church is, I don't know the size, but I'm guessing 100, 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, immediately what I saw is a number one problem that we try to do. We try to lead 150 people. And there's not a leader out there that can effectively lead 150 people very well. So I encourage him to think smaller. Lead one person. Just try to lead one person. More than likely, there's four or five people that are really leading the opposition to any change you have. Figure out who those four or five people are, and then concentrate on one of those, the one you think you have the best opportunity to lead. Mm-hmm. Disciple them, mentor them, meet with them, help them understand, let them even think it's their idea, and then gradually grow into that four or five group. Now, if you can't even really success with that four or five, then you're not going to have much success there, to be honest, and you may not. But think smaller, not think bigger. And that's especially good for smaller churches, but it works for larger churches too. You can lead larger groups, perhaps in a larger church, but it's always proportional. It's always representative to those smaller numbers. So, Jesus only tried to disciple 12 people, and those 12 impacted 72 and eventually the world.
Mm-hmm.
But break down development into the lowest level of the organization. So one of the things we have done, and again, larger church, but we're trying to develop more leaders. And so one of the things we have done for ourselves is we have recruited, last year we recruited about 40 or 45 young leaders. And these are all people we think have great potential in the future. They are people that are going to be with the church for a while. They're not just mm-hmm. passing through in school or whatever. And we broke them down with some of our already existing leaders and started to disciple them for a year, hoping that they will be leaders in the years to come in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next step is for those to recruit and mentor some others. And like in my group, I had three guys. That's all I was trying to deal with was three mm-hmm. guys. And, not all of those have stuck with it through the year, through that 40 or 45, but over half of them have. And imagine even in a church our size adding 20 or 25 new leaders.
Right.
So, that, again, proportional to the size of your church. Maybe it's one you start with this year. Maybe it's two or three. But when you're trying to concentrate on that large number, whether that's 100, 150, you're just going to be overwhelmed. Start with the small example Jesus gave us. Sometimes we see Jesus even just influence Peter.
Yeah, that's true. I think sociologists have kind of sort of determined, I don't want to, sociology is not an exact science all the time, but I think they've kind of determined that 150 is the maximum number of total relationships that a human being can have and actually know and interact with that number of people. Now, that's not just in your church. That's all the relationships you have. 150 is the most that you have where there's an effective communication, understanding, knowledge of the other people. Well, I mean, just by extension, if you're going to train leaders, you can't train 150 of those because there's not enough time in the world to spend that amount of depth with 150 people. If you're a pastor of a church of 50, you can't do it and live your life and have the rest of your job, the rest of your responsibilities, your family, your health, and all of those things. So I think this is why, to bring it back to the 21st century, we can apply the New Testament where Paul tells Timothy, find some faithful men who will train others and they'll train others. And we start with the few, and then the few impact the many. I think that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And I think we need to do that in all of our training efforts. Again, I think when we look at the big elephant, it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to break it down and take that elephant by pieces.
So when you're talking to or when you're organizing training at Emmanuel, do you typically use a slot during a regular meeting time, or is it outside, or do you use a combination?
We do a combination for sure. This coming Sunday, I'm meeting with all of our Bible study leaders. I don't do that very often at all, maybe once a year. And so I will, because they are leaders in the church, I want to speak to all of them and make sure they're all hearing the same vision. So that's a special meeting. We use our business meetings as a time of sort of leadership development or vision casting, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we carve out a portion of that for every meeting. We use our staff meetings for that. So most of the meetings we have, we are trying to at least consider this make disciples making disciples mentality of leadership development. So we're carving out a portion of that. But then, you know, then it's the ongoing programs of recruiting these people and walking through life with them and in a very intentional way as well. So it's really a combination of all of those.
That's awesome. Ron,
I think the key is to be intentional. You know, I really do. Just be intentional and see the purpose of it.
Where can people find you online?
Well, the easiest way is simply by name, Ron Edmondson, 2 D's, E-D-M-O-N-D-S-O-N. RonEdmondson.com is the blog, Ron Edmondson on Twitter, and again on Facebook, easy to find, just a simple Google search.
If you're a person with a good memory, it's facebook.com/Ron A. Edmondson, I believe is correct.
That's correct.
All right, Ron, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time, your insight, and, you know, if you're so inclined, I'd love to have you back at a future time.
That'd be a delight. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Have a great day.
You too. God bless.
And thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you have enjoyed this inaugural podcast of Pastor Talk. Be ready every Tuesday where we will drop episodes that will give you the tools and encouragement that you need to shepherd your flocks well. Until next time, this is Marty Durant.